WXTC and Ballad of Peter Pumpkinhead here on 90.3 KMBA, where music matters. In front of that, new music from the Middle Kids from their self-titled extended play disc with Edge of Town. We heard from Elliott Smith, Wood Brothers back there with The Muse, the title track to that disc, and another track off Chicano Batman's new album. The album's called Freedom is Free, Passed You By. The track we took this morning, some really tasty guitar licks in there. Of course, Chicano Batman is going to be the guest, Holly Schlanger's guest on the World Cafe tonight that you can hear at 6 o'clock right here on 90.3 KMBA. It is 8:27. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Morning Line program. And don't forget, the annual Alaska Native Art Auction is happening tonight. The Art Auction webpage shows this year's art and lets you make early bids, so you can do that today. The auction is tonight, only a few tickets, only a few tables left. And of course, the annual art auction is a fundraiser for Native programming produced here at Quantic Broadcast Corporation and KMBA. And you can find out more information at KMBA.org. Well, welcome to Morning Line for Thursday, or as we like to call it, Almost Friday. I'm Danny Preston.
And I'm Frank Chifluck. So, lots of great events this week and this weekend. One of the ones that's coming up is this amazing documentary tackling indigenous land rights, decolonization, and political governance, and that's premiering here in Alaska. You might have heard of it. It's the documentary by Vice and Viceland and Vice Canada, as well as Aboriginal Peoples Network. It's Sacred Water, Standing Rock Part 1, and Red Power, Standing Rock 2, is debuting at the Discovery Theater at the Alaska Center for Performing Arts. More information can be found on Facebook, and as well as if you search the Eventbrite site, you can find that information. But that's Friday the 14th from 7 to 10.
Okay, thank you very much, Frank. KMBA keeping you in tune with our community, and lots of cool stuff happening around town, including at the Anchorage Museum. I'd like to welcome to the program, first off, Bethany Porter. She is the curator of art and contemporary culture at the museum. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And also joining us is Peter Williams. Peter is an Alaska Native designer from Sitka. And good morning to you.
Good morning.
So first off, Bethany, for folks who don't know about this, Peter is here as a part of the artist in residence program or project with the museum. Tell us about the program a little bit, and then we'll chat with Peter some.
Certainly. The real idea behind the Anchorage Museum Artists in Residence Program is that the key idea is that it's meaningful to the artist. So it's more free form and open in terms of the design of the program. They can actually choose what is going to be most useful to them in their work and their career. So this was a collaborative conversation with Peter to decide what would be of interest to him.
And how many folks are actually involved in the project? Artists, designers.
There's going to be, I believe, 5 designers, and then a couple artists and musicians that Peter has been in contact with.
Okay, tremendous. And it actually begins tomorrow, right?
Yes, at 6:30 p.m.
Okay, tomorrow downtown at the museum. Peter, you have a. I'm going to break my own rule A very unique form of designer. You should never say very, because unique, it's either unique or it's not. But I'm going to say you have a very unique sort of designing process. First of all, tell us what you make.
Well, thank you for the compliment and breaking your rule. I make garments from seals and sea otters that I hunt myself. And I feel that really my life has become my art. And so I can't feel like I really can separate my spirituality and my culture from my hand sewing and from my hunting and from my designing.
You hand sew?
I hand sew the fur, yep.
That is, something that with the tradition that we wouldn't really expect to be hearing a lot about here in the modernity of the 21st century. Mm. So you actually hunt the seals. You're like start to finish with the animal.
Yes, yeah, and that relationship that I have with the animal is very important to me, and something that throughout the years of doing this, I've grown with practices, and also going back to my ancestral ritual, to like asking the animal in my head for its life, letting it know what I'm going to do with it and basically why. And that helps me do what I do. Hunt, for me, killing isn't always easy. And it also does something on a level that I can't explain, but I've actually seen animals like give themselves to me. And then I've seen animals not. I've seen animals just go away. But that's something that I also used to, as something that my ancestors did.
Well, this, these are very special relationships that you've got with the animals, and certainly it's reciprocal too, you know, when you talk about the animals giving themselves to you. How did I doubt you started out as a young boy with this sort of relationship, and this is pretty powerful. Is this something you jumped in with both feet, or it was a slow process, a learning process?
To where I am now has been slow, but I jumped in. And since I was young, I really was drawn to what's called subsistence. And I remember as a kid pretending that we were seal hunting with my friend when I was very little, but it wasn't until my 20s that I actually started to seal hunt. So it's something that's been inside me, I think ever since I was, you know, born, but it's something that has, I've really developed more so in my later part of my life.
Okay. Your family is originally from Aniak, at least part of your family, and part from Sitka, but you grew up in Sitka.
Yeah, I grew up in Sitka, and it's Aniak is where
I'm sorry,
it's
Aniak,
all good.
Not
it's
Aniak.
All good, yeah.
Okay, and where did you first start seal hunting?
In Sitka, okay. Yeah, yep.
Uh-huh. Okay, so a lot of folks have a, I kind of get antsy when I play like Country Joe McDonald's song about saving the whales, because as much as I believe in saving the whales, I also believe in subsistence. So there's always that real sort of a dialectical tension about, you know, what's right and what's not. But you, you were profiled by The Guardian in an article titled, "Why would anyone want to shoot a sea otter?" What's the answer to that?
Well, for me, it's pretty clear. Like, that's not even a question that I would ask. That's what the journalist was asking, and I think the editor of that piece was asking for them to understand it. But for me, it's very clear. But that's because it's so much a part of my life, and it's become, you know, so normal for me. And again, really, like, no separation, right? So life is not separated from death, which I think gets into, like, these deeper conversations that, unfortunately, in our modern society, we really don't think or talk about. Like, what are we wearing now? Are we wearing leather on our shoes? Most likely, yes. You know, are we wearing cotton? You know, that came from a living being, a plant. What, even salad, right? Like, that's a being that died.
Wow.
When we wash our hands, we're killing life. That's why we wash our hands. So death and life is basically the same thing and very important. And unfortunately, I think it's really fragmented in our modern society, and we don't think about the things that we use. Again, that's the importance for...
That's a great way to put that, Frank.
Yeah. Thanks. And the importance of my relationship with the animal, and important for me to know, like, what I'm working with, which could be said to anything. But for me, it really came clear of how connected everything is by hunting and working with seals and sea otters. I realized that there is no separation between me and the ocean, between me and the seal. But that could be said about really anything that we use. But for me, that those interconnected lines really came clear through hunting and working with marine mammals.
I can see why, you know, Lower 48, particularly East Coast journalists would ask sort of a naive question like that. Why would anyone want to shoot a sea otter? And, you know, partly for a little bit of literary drama to tease the readers, too. But I don't think that in everyday, in just carrying on everyday life, that most of us would try to wrap our heads around the fact that this is a lot more than designing fashions. you, through the animals, are basically addressing the entire existential dilemma of life.
Right.
And it's so powerful. And it's taken you out of Alaska. You've traveled around a bit. Talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've shown my work in New York City Fashion Week in 2015.
Really?
Yeah. and Brooklyn Fashion Week this last May. And that's...
What kind of a reception did you have by those East Coasters?
Pretty good. They really like it and really drawn to what I'm doing because it is so unheard of in general, and also unheard of, especially in that scene. It's like, wait, you're hunting them yourself, and you're someone that just kind of, you know, blows their mind, and they're pretty intrigued. And for the most part, I've been really well received. Going back to what we were talking about a little bit with kind of environmentalism, but also being human and needing things to die for us to live. I had a craft fair show at the National Museum of American Indian in DC, right. And a guy came up to me and asked me if I ever get a hard time from those natural environmentalist types. And I said, I am one of those. And he's like, you know what I mean. And so there was this preconceived notion, because I'm hunting an animal primarily for its fur, that I'm not an environmentalist.
And so it was the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of everything, sure.
Yeah, but in fact, I would say that I am, you know. And so I think those ideas, which are kind of, you know, not necessarily new for Alaskans, but it's newer for folks that aren't as connected to harvesting their own food.
So what should we expect to see at the museum?
Yeah. Well, there's going to be 5 other designers besides myself, and there are also going to be some performers. Kevin Worrell
is Super Saturated Sugar Strings.
Yeah, he is performing. Stephen Blanchett is emceeing. Both I'm really excited about. And then
he's a great MC. He's just funnier and all get out.
And so.
How about your show in particular, though?
Yeah. So,
are we going to keep that a secret, a surprise?
No, we can. I am starting to experiment with shearing sea otter fur. So I'm taking scissors and I'm cutting the fur. And so the when you look at it, it's very dark. But underneath, it's got this silvery, almost iridescent look. And so I'm shearing, which is like cutting off kind of the long top hair. I'm cutting that down. And it gives it a completely different look and a completely different texture. And so that's what I've been working on.
Is this a technique that you've developed yourself?
Yeah, shearing's nothing new, but the way I'm doing it is something that I don't have a shearing machine, mm-hmm. so I just got scissors. And,
wow.
And just to try it, and I tried it a few years ago just to see what it would look like, and I liked it, and I didn't really do anything with it, but as I've been thinking about getting ready for my new collection in 2018, it's like, this is what I want to do. I want to start using more sheared sea otter. And so I've been slowly creating pieces, and I will be showcasing those. The museum has been great and very supportive of what I'm doing. It was really funny. The Arts and Residency is so wide open that it's just like, wait, what? I don't know what I'm going to do. it took me a while and a few conversations with Bethany to like kind of actually figure it out. It was just... What are the parameters? Because there's no parameters.
Freestyle riffing,
right,
with my art.
Right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What do I make out of that? And so I came to the conclusion of like, I'd like to put on a fashion show, knowing that there's been some in Anchorage, but there's not a lot in Alaska. And really, Anchorage is, I think, the only place that I've really known of them happening. And there's some Alaskan designers, but there hasn't really been a lot there. So I said, I'll put on this runway show. I don't have I can't do 2 hours of a collection myself, so I need to have other designers come in. And so we did an open call, and there's also some designers that we worked with before. Diana Velez has been the event planner for this, and she's done some fashion events, and she's just been a blessing and has really helped make this happen.
And you're gonna have like models down the runway with your stuff on and all
yes,
that too.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. We've got a lot of local models. And really grateful that they're giving us their time and going to be a part of this.
Okay. Well, we get set to wrap up here. I want to remind folks that the big show for the artists in residence, Peter Williams, takes place at the museum tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. And it also happens to be Polar Nights at the Anchorage Museum, which means tickets at half price. More information, anchoragemuseum.org, I assume, Bethany?
Yes.
Okay, and 929-9227. Once again, Stephen Blanchett's going to be emceeing the program tomorrow night, and Kevin Worrell is going to be performing, so you know that's going to be a good time. This sounds really, really exciting, so I'm stoked. I'm going to have to stop by and see it. Peter, thanks so much. Anything else you want to add as we wrap up here?
Enjoy the day. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, thanks for your kindness, and great to hear about the event. So we'll look forward to seeing it. Bethany, anything to add here?
No, just come and see the show. It's going to be great.
Just go there. Okay. Bethany and Peter, thanks so very much for your company this morning. It is 8:42, still to come. Richard Thompson, Dan Byrne, and new music from Valerie June.
A handful of liquor stores just outside the Pine Ridge Reservation await word on whether or not they can continue to sell alcohol. It's the latest challenge in the fight to curb alcohol abuse on the reservation that prohibited it for more than a century. Join us as we discuss the effectiveness of keeping reservations dry on the next Native America Calling.